Good evening. Yeah, I've been away for a little bit, and when I was here this morning, people were asking me, Collins, where have you been? Yeah, I've been away a couple of weeks now. I came back home a little bit sick. I won't say sick, but I'm not feeling well. I'll put it that way. So I'll try my best to speak louder for you to understand me. And also, if you see me going to my pocket to get a tissue to blow my nose, forgive me for that. I'm not feeling great. I appreciate you coming this evening. It's always a joy to come here to see each one in a mood to serve the Lord. It's a joy for me to experience that. And I'll say this, this church is amazing in this way. They give opportunities for people who want to share the word of God with others, to the congregation, which is a really big thing that I really appreciate that. So I thank the elders, Steve, and everyone for giving me this opportunity to stand here this evening to share the word of God with you. This evening, I'm going to talk to you about a sermon that I prepared. The title of the sermon is that, What Will You Be Remembered For? I want you to understand this. This world is not our home. Mark it down. It doesn't matter how healthy that you are. It doesn't matter how strong that you are. It doesn't matter what good food you eat, the best doctor that you have. One day, you are going to leave this earth. Remember the big house that your ancestors built. The White House was built by somebody who was here before you. Where is that person? That person can be found today. So put it in your mind that one day, we are all going to leave this world. So this world is not your home. So if this world is not your home, if you leave, what are you going to be remembered for? I know when I leave this church, you're going to remember me calling the African guy. I think it would be nice, but I don't want you to remember me for that. I want you to remember me more than that. I prepared this, the message I have today, I prepared out of a friend that I lost 2 weeks ago. A guy that I'm in the army with. Very nice guy. Lovely. He is the last guy that you can ever hate in this world. If you have issue with Dogan, you have issues. If you come to me and tell me that this guy is mean, I don't like him, I'll look at you twice and be like, are you all right? Because this guy is so amazing. He's great. I remember the first time that I get a chance to meet him when I joined my unit about a couple of years ago. He came to me and gave me a hug and said, brother, how are you doing? And I said, I'm good. He said, I saw your name. You're not from here. And I said, you know, right. I'm not from here. And he just welcomed me to the unit. And he was so nice to me. Since then, every time he meets me, we talk. He wasn't my friend. He wasn't somebody that I spent time with outside the army. But he was somebody that I really know that he was a nice person. Then 2 weeks ago, I got a text from a friend of mine saying that he's dead. And I said, no way, he's not dead. I saw him 2 months ago. We talked. He said, yep. In the morning, he had an accident and died. He left this world. So sad. I didn't believe it. So I went to his page on Instagram, and all the things that people have been putting on the media, on a social media, about how amazing this guy is. There's not a single person that said something bad about this guy. Everything that they wrote about him was about how perfect this guy was, Dogan. But all the things that people said about him, I went through most of them. I was paying attention to read something about it. He was a good Christian. He was a good man of God. He was someone who loved God. I wasn't able to find one. I love him to death. Really do love him. But when I saw the message that people were saying about him, I was happy that he left such a good impact in people. But at the same time, I was sad because I was expecting something for people to say about him. I know he wasn't a believer. In his private, like I said, I didn't know him, but the things that I read about him made me find that he wasn't a believer. So I ask you this morning, this evening, that if you leave this earth right now, what are you going to be remembered for? Are people going to remember you for being the funniest guy? Are people going to remember you for being the most amazing dad? Are people going to remember you because you were rich? Or you were the first person to be on the moon? Or you were the first person to bring this to the world? Oh, I love Steve because he was the person who bought me my first car. And because of that, I remember him for that. What are people going to remember you for when you leave this world? That is the question I'm asking you. The Bible makes us to understand that the world that we live in, there's more into it. Last year, Steve invited me to have a talk with a group at a camp. So when I went to the camp, I shared with them a few things about Africa. They wanted to know things about Africa. So when they came back, they made a poster for me. So the poster, I love it. I love all the things that the kids say. And I read it, and there are some people from church here that said something on the poster. Then I read it, and I can picture them, and I love it so much. But as I was going through, there was one girl wrote something. You see where I put the arrows? Maybe you can't see very well. She wrote down that I was the girl that sat beside you. That girl wanted me to remember her. She wanted to be specific. She said, if you don't remember anything, I was that girl who sat beside you. Sometimes you have to be detailed. You have to let people know who you are. And the best way that I want people to know you is that they know you because of God. People should know you not because you're an awesome dad, because you're a good employee, because you are the most awesome, funny person who has ever lived. But they have to know you because God is in your life. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. It says, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What does it help my friend who was so amazing to everybody but lost his soul to the world? You can serve your nation, give out all your best to the nation, but if your soul is lost, it's nothing. This evening, there are a few points I want to share with you. Last month ago, I think we had a sermon about this message. Steve Trammell came here and talked much about this parable that Jesus talked about. If you open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. He told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build a larger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take ease and eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now you will own what you have prepared. So this is the man who stored up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This young man who lived, he has so many things for himself. And he said to his heart, today, I'm going to be happy, enjoy myself for all the good things that God has blessed me. And God said, I'm going to take up your soul because you're not rich towards him. But there's some emphasis that I want us to pick from here. This parable says that there was a rich man. The Bible did not mention specifically who that man was. The only adjective that was used to describe the man was that there was a rich man. God knows everyone. But specifically, his name was not mentioned. And you and I know the reason his name was not mentioned. Because he was not rich towards God. When God mentioned good people names in the Bible, he go in detail to mention where they are from, their name. I'm asking you this evening, does God know your name? If God is to call you tonight, is he going to call you by your job? Is he going to call you by what you have? Or is he going to call you by name and say that you are rich towards him? I want you to have it in your mind that God should know your name. And when you're being called, you're not going to use an adjective that qualifies everyone or that qualifies what you have, but it qualifies you by how good you are towards God. One thing that we also have to know about this rich man was that he set his mind on something which is on earth. His life purpose, his meaning to life, was just what he has. You know one thing? I can tell you for sure that this man was a hard-working man. This man was somebody who had brains to make money. He was a man who's able to make things work. So where he lives, I strongly believe that people can attribute him for his business. People call him by what he has. His goal on this earth was towards something which was not meaningful. He is remembered for what he has, material things, but he's not remembered for what he did for God. When I stand here to discuss this with you, it sounds like that man is so foolish. Why will you work all your life towards that and say to yourself that I have all this, I'm going to enjoy myself? But remember, we are just like him. We are just like that man. Remember when you had nothing, you talked to God every night. When you were sick, you were praying to God every night, asking people, help me, in asking God to cure me. But the moment you get on your feet, the moment things start going well for you, you tell yourself, this is my night. I need to enjoy myself. It has happened before. Think about those things. The moment that the things that you work for takes you away from God. The life, the things in this world took this man away from God. And God said, I'm going to take your life from you. And out of that, you will not be remembered for being rich towards me, but being poor. The purpose of our life is to become rich towards God. The purpose of our life is to know God. If you do not know God and your life is all based on what you have, then this evening I'm reminding you that when you leave this earth, you are not going to remember for that. Don't spend all your time trying to be the great dad without God. Don't spend all your time trying to be the great employee. Don't spend all your time to please America. Don't spend all your time to make people around you happy. Spend your time working towards God so that when you leave this world, we can remember you for that. I also want to share with you the life of Paul. We all know Paul and who Paul was. So open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 11. Although I myself might have confidence, even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I am far more circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as of the law, a Pharisee, as to the zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness, which is the law, found blameless. Verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count but rubbish so that I might gain Christ and may be found in him, not knowing a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but what is true faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Verse 11, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Saul was a very, very religious person who in his mind was fighting a good cause, a tradition that he upheld so much. Fighting for God in his mind, he said. But when a time comes and he found out that the cause that he was fighting was not meaningful to the Lord, reached towards God, he was saved and became a Christian. And when he became a Christian, Paul in this context is letting you know that my old life that I have, I was poor in the Lord. But through the grace of God, now I have been rich towards God. So my past means nothing. I lose all that. I want us to emphasize a few things in here. Paul is just like you and me. He's a guy who loves the law, religious person. He was well educated and very powerful. He was able to go to the top and says that I need this power to go and kill these Christians. And he had that power with him. And he went to kill Christians, to help kill Christians because they worship God. Right? He was a powerful man. Then he comes down to tell you that he was not just Paul, but he was Jew among Jew. That means that he was a real Jew. If one says something that Jews are children of God, he wants to make emphasis that I am pure Jew. And out of that, he also let you know that he was someone who was moving up. Whatever he's doing, he was not falling down, he was moving up. If you see his career, in his career, he's moving up. But in all that, he found out that he was fighting against the gospel. Then he broke himself down and accepted Jesus Christ. God saved him. This is the point that I'm making. You can be a Christian. You come to church every Sunday. You read your Bible, trying to find a good cause for God. But you might be a block, a hindrance to the gospel. What am I trying to say? because of certain views that you might have. Those views might be serving as a hindrance to the gospel. There are a couple of us here, when we are online, we put the Bible beside us and try to be a politician that we can ever be. We believe that the faith that we have, we push harder. Instead of us to be focusing on God more and do what God wants us to do, we'll be going there discussing about politics. And that politics is going to be a block, a hindrance from somebody being in the church. Or you are that person who tell your friends that I'm American. I'm American of American. It could be you. An issue that happens in the world. As a Christian, instead of you to step back and know that this is not the path that you've been taking, but you step in to show the world how American that you are. And because of your utterances, the words that you say will be a block, a hindrance to the gospel. Do you think that if you have some opinions that distract the gospel and you pick the Bible one day to preach to that people, they are going to listen to you? Do you think they are going to listen to you? Likely not. A couple of years ago, I was like that. I was very political. Not only politics, even back home, there were certain opinions that I have with my culture that I see myself to be different from others. And using that opinion, today I look back and I tell myself, maybe my behavior serves as a block, as a hindrance to somebody in the church. Not all of us here knows the Bible very well. Not all of us here understand that if somebody offends you, you can forgive the person. But because of a tradition, opinion that you hold on to, or let someone pick his Bible and leave the church. Do you want that thing to happen? I believe you do not. I believe that the purpose of you coming here is to win more souls for Christ. And I don't want you to be a block, a hindrance to someone's salvation. I don't want myself to be that person. Somebody told me that the reason I didn't come to Mountain View was because of Collins. Don't remember me for that. I don't want you to remember me for that. I want you to remember me as Collins, who helped somebody to come to Christ. Your opinions are your opinions. But the Bible, the gospel, supersedes everything that we do in life. Paul was engaged in a tradition that was serving as a hindrance to the gospel. And out of that, his opinions was not helping to further the cause of Christ. Paul over here is saying that, people, don't remember me for my past. Don't remember me for all the bad things that I did against God's people. But I want you to remember me as someone who stood there and preached the gospel and people were saved. That is what I want to be remembered for. And that is what I want you to be remembered for. It is very, very easy to offend someone in this world that we live in. Very, very easy to offend somebody. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go there to preach the gospel. What I'm saying is that anything that does not benefit the cause of Christ, don't engage in it. Anything that people will use that against you and Christ, don't entertain it. And let your focus be centered on Christ. And out of that, people are going to remember you for that. And that is what I want all people. And I don't say this to look down on you. I don't say this for you to be thinking that, oh, Collins doesn't want me to express myself wherever I want. Or Collins is saying that, because I'm American, I don't want to express the pride that I have in my country. No, you should be very proud of yourself or who you are. You can be say you're white of white. You can see you're black of black, whatever you want to. But the point I'm making is that don't let issues, traditions, external things distract us from preaching the gospel to people. My wife has marks on her, tattoos on her. So I was before we got married and all that, and I've discussed this with her before. A friend of mine was from Ghana that I talked to her about, hey, this is the lady I want to marry, talk to him about. And so, do you have his picture? I said, yeah. So I showed my wife's picture to her. And he's like, she has tattoos? Are you sure she's a Christian? And I look at him, yeah, she is. So, but she has tattoos. And I said, what difference does it make? He said, no. Bro, be very careful. I do not hold anything against my friend. You know why? Because of the culture that we come from, we have a perception about those things. And those perceptions influences thinking towards the gospel. So you just imagine my wife was there, and this friend who's a Christian say, make comments like this in her presence. What do you think she's going to think towards that friend or the gospel itself? Or if you sit here and you make a same comment about those things to her, and she comes here and you tell her that, oh, I love you, sister, what do you think that she's going to think about you? My friend was influenced by his culture, by where he's from. And out of that, it is influencing his thinking. And God does not want our culture, God does not want our external things to influence how we perceive people concerning the gospel. This is the message I have for you tonight. It is not a long message. It's a message that I want you to understand. That if Collins died today, I don't want you to remember me because I'm from Africa. I don't want you to remember me because I speak with an accent. I don't want you to remember me for Collins was funny. You can say all those things. But if you cannot say that Collins was a good Christian, that means I'm doing something wrong. James chapter 2 says something interesting that we all know of. He talks about Abraham. It says that all the things that Abraham did, he was called what? A friend of God. Abraham was called a friend of God. I'm asking you that when you leave this earth and I'm going to write something about you, or your best friend is going to say, write something about you, do you think that your friend or your mother, your dad can say that you are a friend of God? Can people say those things about you in your absence? If you come to my house and you leave and go, what are the comments that I'll say about you? Am I going to tell my wife that, oh, he's a good man, he loves God, he's a friend of God, he's a child of God? Is that what people are going to remember you for? If all these things that I said tonight, you fall short of any of them, and people cannot remember you for that, then you have to work on it. Because one day, we are all going to leave this world. And when you leave this world, there's going to be judgment. And I tell you, Israel, on that day, you cannot say, God, give me another chance. And when the time is calling, you can't say that, give me one more chance. This is the chance that you have. This is the opportunity that you have. See, this church is expanding so big. When I came here, there were a lot of people, but it was not as many as this. Few years now, this church is expanding. There are majority of people here that I don't even know by name. It tells you that you're going to encounter more people. And when they live here, what are they going to remember you for? When I see Miss June, or when Miss June is not around, I'm going to remember her for being a good person. Not to me alone, but for God. how much she loves God and how much you love God. If you fall short in any of this, this is the time for you to have a change of mind. If you are here and you are not a member of the Lost Church, you can be a great person, like my friend. You can be an awesome person, like my friend. But when you leave this world, you're not going to be saved. Because the Bible makes us to understand that those who are saved were part of the Lost Church and they were baptized. But this is an opportunity for you. You can come forward and the church is going to help you to be saved in the Lord. And if you have been baptized and you're part of the Lost Church, but your thinking in the Lord is quite different from how God wants you to think or how God wants you to be rich towards Him, there's time for you to change your mind. I pray that before you leave here, the things that I've told you will encourage you to serve God so that you bring more souls to Christ. I want us to be remembered for loving God. I don't want us to be remembered for anything else. I love you so much, and I hope that on the day and the last day, we can all be rich towards God. As we are about to sing our songs of invitation, if you need salvation, come forward and the church will help you.